Praise Yahweh, this is part C now of the fifth day. And we're in John chapter 7, Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Sukkot. You're going to hear that a lot here. Yeah, we got 3 days ahead of us yet. We've got all the time in the world. We've got the entire year to keep these feast days, don't we? Well, yes and no. But what I mean by that is when the feast day is officially over, on that last great day, I'm not going to just say, well, that's the end of it for another year or for another 6 months or something. I'm going to go on trying to think of him every day as tabernacling with us. Although I'll be able to go out and buy something in the store. I'll be able to go to work again if I could find some employment out there. You crazy? Who'd want to work anyway, right? No. We want to make some money. I enjoy it. You're going to keep in shape some way, and if I don't get a job, well, then I'll have to do other things to keep in shape, I guess. Rake some leaves. Rake up a great big pile of beautiful leaves. That's what we'll do. So Messiah said in John 7, verse 2, because Messiah is the Word, so he's giving us the Word here. Why don't we just start at verse 1? That sounds real Protestant there, the way that's translated from the Latin and Greek, or Greek and Latin. After those things, Messiah walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. That should be, he would not walk in Yehuda. He wouldn't walk with those people at that time. He was with his apostles, and he's coming up to that. I heard another interpretation of that, which is was good. But now the Jews, let's see, was that word added? No, but somehow somebody got that in there. That's okay. The message of salvation here, the Feast of Tabernacles, was at hand. Was at hand, and that's before Yahweh died on the tree at Calvary. Okay. And the Jews, Greek word 2453, or Yehudite, as the Messiah obeying his father here. Well, some people could say, well, look, he dropped in at the feast after it was half over. No, he didn't. Then he would have been sinning, and he would have broken the law. And so the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And then in verse 8, chapter 7, verse 8, he is saying, go you up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. Okay, how about verse 10? When his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. So he didn't break his laws. We find there, and if we read on in verse 10, that he was there, but he wasn't obvious to the other Jewish people who were up to murder him. He didn't break his laws. And then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? So where are we going next? Verse 37. Well, could we stop at verse 24? Judge not. Oh, I'm not supposed to judge anybody. I mean, in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul told us that we should judge. He said that the assembly will do the judging. Know you not that the assembly will judge the living and the dead, or something like that? So, but keep reading. Judge not according to appearance. You mean if I see somebody who's just committed adultery, that I am supposed to ignore that? No, he didn't mean that either. But judge not according to the appearance necessarily, you know, what you think it is, but judge righteous judgment. Oh, you can, okay to judge after all, huh? And then the other place that people typically take up about judging is Matthew 7. They like to go to Matthew 7, that don't judge me. I've been married and over and over and over. Don't judge me for that. But that's a whole study in itself. Takes you to Deuteronomy 22, that she was not a virgin. the tokens of her virginity. Listen for that broadcast about that remarriage dilemma. Judge righteous judgment. Well, we're not to put pressure on you right now. We're just telling it. We're just reading the word. And verse 37. Where is the Messiah? Here he is. Here he's in the Feast of Tabernacles. He's tabernacling with you. He's in you. In the last day, that great day of the feast, that last great day, Yahvahosha stood and cried and said, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his being, out of his spirit shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Ruach HaKadosh, the pure spirit, was not yet given because that Yahvahosha was not yet magnified to the Father. But that, indeed, if you look back to the what is called the Old Testament, the Spirit was there after all. Yes, the Spirit had been given to certain ones, you know, but now there's a larger portion of people who are getting the Spirit, who are being given the Spirit by the Messiah. The last great day, that teaching is found in chapter 8, so we don't go into that right at the moment. But there he is speaking at the last great day about some of the issues I just spoke of earlier, of adultery and judging and so on. So, yeah, we can do that later in about 3 more days. But it's a joyful time. Oh, yes, it is, it is. That we should follow in his steps. Messiah is keeping that last great day, and he's keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. He's keeping you, keeping it in your heart. Somebody can say, well, he's keeping it spiritually. You don't need to do it physically. Go back to Berkeley and stay there. I don't know, Berkeley is probably saved by now after all the evangelists that are around. He probably wouldn't recognize it. He went back there. Well, I'd like to think that. Acts 18:21, in the year A.D., or after the Common Era of 52, after the A.D. 52, that's how I like to say it. The feasts are still being kept in Acts 18, and verse 21, and Paul bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if Yahweh will, and he sailed from Ephesus. So he's sailing from a Gentile town. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And Antioch. That's not that far from Jerusalem, but let's see, he kept first fruits, or commonly called Pentecost, in 1 Corinthians 16:8. So Paul was keeping the feasts. Now, I can't remember which one is this. I must by all means keep or celebrate it. The word can be more correctly translated. I must by all means celebrate this feast instead of keep or in addition to or as a synonym, keep or celebrate this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will again return unto you if Yahweh will. So I didn't answer my question, but I think that this was the, am I wrong, the Feast of First Fruits? I have forgotten that. It's okay. I get way overstressed, overworked, so, and I don't see in my notes there, but it says Acts was written in A.D. 63, but this portion here was... What again? A.D. 52. Why do I have... I also have A.D. 54. But anyway, it was way after the Messiah was impaled on the tree and had risen from the grave, from the, in the resurrection of Messiah. So that's the era that this was in. This was definitely the New Testament period. Paul is still keeping the feast, and he doesn't go out of his way to say, "Now, wait a minute. This is a Jewish thing. Don't be keeping these Jewish feast days." And they say, "Well, no, he said that in Galatians." Well, he didn't say that at all. Learn what Paul knew and believed, how he was raised and what he believed. He believed the Torah, and then interpret Galatians in that light. The thing is we have these new believers or new Christian will come along, and he'll start out at the end of the book. He'll start out in Galatians and read that, or read about Messiah eating. Messiah supposedly saying that it was okay to eat anything, or they'll go to Romans 14 instead of first learning the Torah, first learning the law, and then going on to understand Paul's writings. That Peter said that you can. You have to watch Paul's writings really carefully, because you might interpret it wrong. But the added law spoken of in Jeremiah 7:22, we've already done those. The added law of Galatians 2 and 3. If we have a little time left over, let's do that. Hebrew and what was done away with, Hebrews 9. So I'm saying Jeremiah 7:22. Hebrews 9, and then the covenant is given there in Hebrews 8:10. A new covenant will I write in your heart. He's going to write in our hearts and mind a new covenant. Also, a parallel passage or word for word out of Deuteronomy, out of the law. Here's that new covenant that was back in the old covenant. It's the same one, Deuteronomy 8. Just to love Yahweh and... But don't make any change in your life. Don't go to the feasts. Just do your own pleasure. Okay, and go to Berkeley of the 1960s. Hebrews 8, oh, by the way, 8 verse 8 says, "For finding fault with them," he didn't find fault with his Ten Commandments, but he found fault with the people who were unable to keep his feast days. Finding fault with the people, he saith, "Behold, the days cometh, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of the Hebrews and with the house of Yehuda." So the northern and the southern kingdom, when the two sticks are going to be put together by Yahweh, not by man, not by ecumenical or messianic ecumenicals, but by Yahweh. Sorry, you guys. But Yahweh does all of that, bringing us together. We don't need a government or people telling us, a structure, governmental thing, a group of people who are dealing out of the church government, telling us that we are going to unite all the different religions. We don't need them, because Yahweh will have us automatically come to one truth. We won't have any conflicting ideas. No, he's going to bring us all together to celebrate and keep his Torah, his law, without any help from the peanut gallery up there, the ecumenical, social, economic, one world system, the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches, the NCC, in other words. We don't need them to tell us. We find neighbors from all kinds of different religions just gathering together in the streets or in homes, and they're not commanded by any church organization to gather together. They just do it on their own, and they read the word, the scriptures, and they enjoy it. They enjoy reading the scriptures together and talking about that. Some people just say, "Well, the scripture doesn't say this, it doesn't say that." For finding fault with them, with the people, he saith, "Behold, the days come, a new covenant with the house." The house. Deuteronomy 4, it's time to follow the whole word. Deuteronomy 4:4. These are pretty easy to memorize, because the numbers just kind of roll off the mind, roll off the tongue there. Deuteronomy 4:4 says, "But you that..." Wait a minute, is that right? What else do I have? 4:4. "But you that did cleave unto Yahweh your way are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh, my maker, My mighty one commanded me that you should do so in the land whither you go and possess it. I guess earlier there in verse 1, and Moses is speaking for Yahweh. Yahweh tells him what to say. Now therefore hearken, O the Hebrew, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh of your fathers giveth you. And just as he said throughout the book here in Revelation, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. You know, Yahweh in the Sermon on the Mount said, not one jot or tittle of his law shall pass away until all be fulfilled, and all is still not fulfilled because heaven and earth haven't passed away. Neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh which I command you. And then verse 5, we'll go back and pick it up. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh, my Maker, commanded me that you should do so in the land which you go to possess. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What nation is there so great? Who is Yahweh so nigh unto them as Yahweh, our Maker, is in all things, unto them, as Yahweh is in all things that we call upon him for? So it was a question there. And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments, you know, has Torah? A great nation has these statutes and judgments, so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day. He's really lifting up the law, isn't it? And then teach it to your sons and your sons' sons. And you know, hopefully that they'll, you know, listen. Verse 13, he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote upon the two tables of stone, more statutes and judgments there. He talks about obeying the statutes, you know, not out of root obedience, not keeping the law for the sake of keeping the law, but for the sake of loving Yahweh, it says in 1 John. So these, we're to follow the word, we're not to diminish from it. These Sabbaths are not passed away or abrogated. For example, we keep referring to Isaiah 66. Oh, wait, let's stop one more at 12:32. At, I think it was Deuteronomy 12. Yeah, 12:32, yes. And there, it just says the same thing. Emphasizes it even more, 12:32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Just a repetition of Deuteronomy 4. Okay, everyone, Isaiah 66, halfway through the word, Isaiah, the great tabernacle's book. And there's a lot of other things in there too, but boy, the wolf and the lamb lying down together. And that'll be a common thing. Verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to praise before me, saith Yahweh. You know, the very, very last words of the so-called Old Testament before it goes into our New Testament. It says, remember you the law of Moses, my servant, there in Malachi 4. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant. And then people turn the page to the New Testament as if it were to say, now forget the law of Moses, my servant, even though Yahweh stands in the Sermon on the Mount and tells him that we're to keep the law. And he proclaims his law, that it is forever. It's never going to change. Hebrews 13 says that. Also, Zechariah 14 talks about these feasts. So that's somewhere around Malachi there. Zechariah 14, and specifically, we want to just, you please read it all if you haven't done that. If you never read For the Feast Day of Feast of Tabernacles, please read Zechariah 14, but we're going to just kind of go near the end of it. 14:16 came to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, they came against Jerusalem, like they are today, throwing the Jews out of the land that Yahweh gave them. Against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to praise the King, Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of the armies, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, that'll fix them good, going to the feast, sitting around, sleeping in the service, and going out and eating all kinds of berries and cherries and fruits, and having lots of fun here. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to praise the King, certainly that is bondage, praising the King, right? Well, in their mind, maybe, Yahweh of the armies, the King of kings, even unto them shall be no rain. Oh, I love the rain. It brings on the crops. And if the family of Egypt got to go no up, there'll be a plague upon them. And Yahweh will smite the heathen that come not up to keep that legalistic Feast of Tabernacles. A bunch of legalistic Galatianists. No. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and all the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses pureness, separation unto Yahweh. And the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Pots and bowls mean pots and bowls. I looked those the Hebrew words for those up. It means pots and bowls. Yet, yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be separation unto Yahweh of hosts, and all they that offer shall come and take of them and seethe therein. And in that day there shall no more be the Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of hosts. No, there won't be a person coming along saying, the feasts of Yahweh were done away with. They're Jewish. I mean, what if they were French? Would that be different? Or if they were, what if the feasts were Greek or Taiwanese or Chinese or something, would that make it better? What's wrong with Jewish feasts? Well, if you go back into history, not too far, or if you go way back, you know, you'll find the RCC was persecuting the Jewish believers and even calling them, you know, scum, just the slime of the earth. That if something is Jewish, then it's a derogatory remark they're making, you know. And truly some Jews today bring a bad connotation or, you know, bad flavor upon their name and upon the house of Yehuda. So that was Zechariah 14. We read a little bit from Malachi, the last chapter in the so-called Old Testament. Hebrews 13 says Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're just going to read that one verse there. Everybody should know that, forwards and backwards. And it's in Hebrews 13. I don't know the exact verse. Let me see here. There's a lot in there. Verse 8, Yahweh Hosha is the same yesterday and today and forever. So he doesn't have varying standards. He has one law for the Jews, one law for the Gentiles. No, no. Also look up Malachi 3:6, as well as, you know, his standards are Exodus 20-23 in the Torah we read. He never changes. And Romans 1:2, the qualities of some of those who were for and against his standard, his law, in Romans 1:20. Okay. Qualities of a believer are, you know, love, obedience, laying down our life for one another, not being selfish, not saying, I don't have any time to keep the feast days, not saying, well, my boss won't let me get the time off, you know, so I'm not going to go. Well, that is a tough thing. I think it might take some time. Certainly the power of Yahweh's Spirit to get us to a place where we'll say, I don't care what the boss says. I don't even care what the state says, even though the state might protect me and give me certain rights to keep these feast days according to the conscience of a person. I know they do that in Oregon. And even to have a beard, that's written in the law, in the state law of the state of Oregon. But that also, Yahweh's law is even higher than that. So I would take the liberty of quoting that to the judge, you know, or the arbitrator. If you're talking about employment and unemployment things, I would mention that. That, well, this law says here that I am to keep these feast days. So, you know, I don't argue with that. I mean, that's my first and foremost consideration is the law. James 1 also says that Yahweh is consistent and has no shadow of turning. Every good gift, this is James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Also Malachi 3:6, if I didn't mention that one before, it talks about the consistency. There's no fudging on the Sabbath and or the other laws, or to say, well, the oxen in the ditch, everything is an oxen in the ditch, you know. And I go back to the law, I go back to the Torah, and where is that about the oxen in the ditch? Well, certainly if your neighbor's animal goes wandering, it didn't say on the Sabbath, but it says that you're responsible, so that would include the Sabbath day. But the oxen in the ditch, we can't go using that for everything, you know, alibi to try to make it seem like it's okay. We're not above the law or the Torah. We're just kind of referring to the law in general. We haven't done any specifics here in a little bit. Romans 8:7 says, the one I keep alluding to, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject to the Torah. The Torah of Yahweh neither indeed can be. Need a refresher here. Then we'll go to Isaiah 11 and 12 and 24 and 29, and we'll wrap it up. And I think we can cruise right straight through there. Isaiah 11, that's a tabernacle chapter of Isaiah. That's futuristic, a prophetic chapter. Well, it could have also applied to that day and in some respect. Isaiah 11, verse 6 to 11a, I've got down here. The wolf also shall dwell, and I say wolf because that's the noise that a dog makes. It goes woof, you know. The wolf shall dwell with a lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall be down, that'd be funny, shall lie down together, oh, could they play. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now we read earlier about there will not be a lion in the future times, but I think we'd probably have to look up the word lion there, the English word, and then go back to the Hebrew and see what he really meant. And sometimes these translators weren't exact on everything, no matter what version you'd go to. But, you know, that's not going to keep me, just like the thief on the cross, it's not going to keep me from going down in the water to be saved. You know, and that's what it says. How many preachers would say that you need to be immersed? Book of Peter does. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaning child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den, on the snake's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my separated mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest, his shalom shall be. with esteem, as close as I can translate. And that shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people, which should be left from, and then it mentions all the nations and the islands of the sea. And then chapter 12, there's a great song. In that day thou shalt say, I wonder if somebody could come up with this and sing this, 12th chapter of Isaiah. O Yahweh, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, Yahweh is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation, and in that day shall you say, Praise Yahweh, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto Yahweh, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the pure one of the chosen people in the midst of thee. And from that 12th chapter of Isaiah, I do recognize several verses which have songs, but I've never heard the entire chapter being sung. Let's go to chapter 24 for one verse. Just up there to 24, okay? Some believe differently, but for you and I, yes, some believe that you can eat and drink anything you want, even though the first sin in the garden was eating something. The first sin on the earth was about eating, so maybe eating is still a factor, regardless of how we might mistranslate Messiah's words in the book of Matthew or someplace. But for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh, and we will enjoy the feast. At least I know I will. I'm going to do that, even if we're in captivity. Still going to say, Hey, Commander, do you mind if we all keep the Feast of Tabernacles? And he'll say, Well, more of your craziness. Sure, go ahead. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you're invited, sir. You're going to enjoy it. That's what I'll tell him, if that ever comes around to that. 24:23, Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed, when the Yahweh of the armies shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients with kavod. Gloriously, it says here in the King James, but Hebrew word should be kavod there, or exalting Yahweh greatly, magnificently, magnifying him magnificently. They even talked about the previous verse. They shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Yahweh is going to visit us. If we don't get our act together here, he seems to be acting around the world with the human governments, and putting the pressure on us, putting the screws down, as it is said in some circles. He's tightening up the screws, the thumb screws, and he's saying, Hey, people, get with it. Sean Hannity, he's not saying this, but I say Sean Hannity and Michael Savage and the whole bunch of them, the Tea Parties, bless, it's a wonderful time and everything, but the Republican Party and Sean and great Republican leaders, fine Christian men, are not going to save this country. It's going to be Yahweh. It's going to be keeping his law here. It's going to be keeping the feasts. It's going to be walking in the Spirit and not in the fulfillment of the lusts of the flesh that are going to change and save our country. And you say, well, you can't legislate that, Stephan Yah. Well, someday Yahweh will. It's either, how is that? Kevin Swanson says, either you'll be governed by Yahweh or by Yahweh you'll be governed. And by Barack and so on, and by these other Hillary and so on, they are going to be governing us in a way that nobody wants to be governed by. If we don't want Yahweh's governing over us and asking us to come to these feast days, asking us to tithe and to have our marriages in order properly according to Scripture, don't pay attention to all these preachers, then by Yahweh we will be governed by the enemy. He promises that. And then you'll say, well, praise Yahweh. I don't care for the way it's being done, but I'm excited. At least Scripture is being fulfilled here, that I know His word is true. So in the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, at least as we're wrapping up this program, we're going to keep going, though, at the feast, and maybe have a little, what they call immersion, mikvah, or baptism out here after a little bit. Hopefully get people to be obedient and go out there and do it. Now let's read 29:13 to the end. Isaiah 29:13. I wish somebody else could do this, but I'm the only one here who so far is being able to do that. This is kind of similar to Matthew 15:7. Isaiah 29:13. That's a lot of numbers I'm throwing. Some people are not used to that. But Isaiah is chapter 29, okay? Wherefore Yahweh said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me. Yes, they do esteem Yahweh. They but have removed their heart far from me and their fear toward me. They might fear him. That's good. Their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man. That's not good. Also see Psalm 12, 2-4. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. So, I was talking about Berkeley there with the heads, the suits and the heads and the skirts, thinking they're so wise, but the wise men shall perish. You know, they're going to learn. He's not going to destroy all of them and send them off and to be destroyed in the lake of fire. There's going to be some people who will be surprised that even theirs be surprised that they're going to make it by the blood of Yahweh HaMashiach. They're going to be saved by the blood. And thanks for Yahweh at Calvary, for the Messiah there who died for their sins. He died 2,000 years ago. It's history. It's not some kind of a concoction of Christianity who was imitating pagan cultures and repeating some mystical things. It's not that. No, because, if you look at some of our file there, in there we talk about Zeitgeist, that they're trying to say that Christianity followed paganism and not the other way around, not that paganism was following us, I think. Okay, verse 14, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, the understanding of prudent shall be hidden. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from Yahweh, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? See Romans 9:20. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Also see the very last verse we're coming to about this. The meek also shall increase their joy in Yahweh. Thank you. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the separated one of the Hebrews. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner, I talked about that friend of mine this morning, the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. Those who watch for lawlessness in their Protestant churches, down the aisles, just pass the hat, but don't keep the rest of the law. They believe in tithing, but they don't believe in doing this. That make a man an offender for a word. For a word. And lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. You're judging me. And turn aside the just for a thing of naught. and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale, but when he seeth his children, the work of my hands in the midst of him, they shall set apart my name. They're not going to use that substitute anymore. They will magnify my name and set apart and magnify the pure separated one of Jacob, and shall fear the mighty one of the Hebrews. They shall, you know, fear. You see that no fear bumper stickers or little on the chairlift towers, no fear. Well, that's good if you're going to be jumping, throwing your mountain off a perfectly good mountain, body off the mountain or something. But we need to have fear of Yahweh. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. They shall learn teaching, is what that means. So some believe differently, but we believe in Yahweh's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that with the Father there is no slightness or variableness of turning or subterfuge or something where he's trying to make us think, you know, where he sends Paul. Did he send Paul down to try to trick us into thinking, oh, Paul, you're going to be one of us. You're going to be one of us legalistic Galatianists or one of those Jews, you know, keeping the Jewish feast days. But Paul, his ulterior motive was really to get us to get out of Yahweh's feast days and over into the Gentile ways of keeping the pagan holidays. That's not my Savior. That's not my fun. It's not yours either, is it? So the day is not over. But, you know, they can do what they want to out there. They can mow their lawns on the high days, you know, build boats and wreck this world. They think they're, you know, wrecking the law and so on. But for you and I, we will serve Yahweh. Enjoy the feast. Send us an email because, you know, we want to count you. We want to see that there are a number of people who are checking in here and with a website, Yahweh Not Yahweh. So we don't ask you for any money, try to put pressure on you or anything. Just hit the contact button and that will put up the little email list and you can send off. So I will be anonymous. Somebody can't do something maliciously, but all you have to do is hit the contact button, put a little message in there, and no one else has to see that, okay? So we'd appreciate that if you would. If you can't do it, well, that's okay. Anyway, the day is not over, so have yourself a blessed, joyful day in Yahweh. This has been about a 43-minute message altogether. It's I suppose it's around an hour and a half for all three messages that we've had today. And they've been, you know, I went on a few rabbit trails, a few detours, but I think it was necessary to just get that in there when I can think about it. So I hope you're blessed by that. May the Heavenly Father, Yahweh, bless us all. We need to sing and praise Him and continue with that, the praise music, get some instruments in here and to bring up some music so we can enjoy Yahweh and, you know, get our minds off of all that stuff out there. You know, get rid of the stuff and plant Yahweh's heavenly thoughts in our minds. And so that we can trust Him more, and so that we'll do the thing that He created us to do, would be to praise Him. And that's why we are created. You know, the animals, they do what they are created to do, but the human, he wants to get out of doing what Yahweh told him to do. So, Yahweh, we want to praise you. We want to give you our bodies, a living offering, pure and acceptable, which is only our reasonable service. We want to keep these feast days as well. It's kind of tough when our bosses discriminate against us and don't give us the promotion that we rightly, many of us rightly deserve anyway, or that they just kind of squeeze us out and get rid of us. They'll squeeze people out who are not keeping feast days as well, but it seems like we get persecuted even more, and that's where the persecution comes from, is our keeping your law. That's where the temptation is, and we pray that you would give us enough power, enough faith and wisdom and hope by the Ruach HaKadosh, by the Spirit, that is, to observe your statutes and judgments, to love you, as it says in 1 John 5, to hold you up and lift you up and only be concerned about important things, that Yahweh is giving us his laws to write in his hearts and minds, that Yahweh, you're giving us your covenant, that new covenant. Somebody says, well, who cares about an agreement, a covenant? But I care. I care that you would have that relationship with us, and that it does need to be written down somewhere as to the particulars of our agreement, that it needs to be written in our heart, but also we need to know what the conditions are, to keep our covenant with you, that we need to fast occasionally, that we need to tithe and, do all the little particulars that you've given us. Thank you in Yahweh HaMashiach's name. Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Let's continue. The day is not over. There's a lot more to go. Praise his name.